I'm Molly. I'm an alcoholic now that I'm now getting recorded. Just to repeat, in the fall of 2023, I realized how sick and suffering I still was inside the rooms when I heard this woman share, and she said, perhaps there's a better way. And that's what the book talks about. Perhaps there was a better way. And I realized that in sobriety, I was still quote unquote using, right? Like not drugs or alcohol, but anything that could put me on a spree, anything that would, a thought or a feeling that would, I would believe to be real and true and put me in a train of circumstances, placing me in a position to be hurt. And so this woman gave me her number. She agreed to help me, and it took me a few more months before I decided to work with her. And like any good alcoholic who was full of self-righteousness, self-knowledge, self-will, self-propulsion, I told her, I'll do whatever you say, and did absolutely none of it except show up to my weekly group. She asked me to go to the same meeting every day. She asked me to call people every day, and she asked me, to pray and meditate and write questions for God morning and the night. And I thought to myself, I don't know how any of that's going to help me, but I'll keep showing up. And like I always did when I went back to Human Aid, when I went to therapy, when I went to a trauma recovery week intensive, when I went to 2 weeks of codependency treatment, when I worked the Yellow Book in ACA, when I go went to Al-Anon, when I went to CODA, when I even went to OA with friends struggling there, I realized I could suffer from sugar addiction. And one night looking for a CODA meeting, I ended up in a LGBTQ CMA, Crystal Meth Anonymous meeting. And when I read, they read their preamble, I realized I could qualify for that because one of my drugs of choice was Adderall. And I'm like, well, now I realize that alcohol and drugs has absolutely nothing to do with the spiritual malady that I suffer from inside of my heart and soul. And I have a disease that centers in the brain. I have a mind that believes it's right and is self-seeking to the core because I want you to change so I can feel better. I am the actor that wants to run the entire show, and I go beyond the lights and the ballet and the orchestra. I have written the script, I am selling the tickets, and I am a clone of every single person sitting in the audience so I can know how you're going to react to my play. And so I worked with this woman, and she told me that I will pull in all of my disorder and I will get worse before I get better. And at that point, I was like, how much worse could I get? I was so sick and suffering. The worst thing that had happened was the dog that I had gotten right after my mother had passed away. I had put him down a couple of actually a month right before that, and he was with me from the beginning of sobriety until that time, so 9 years later. And there was a point in my sobriety that my sponsor was showing up with food on my doorstep. I was crying every single day, and I didn't know what was wrong with me. I'm like, what is wrong with me? And no one said, maybe you should go to a meeting every day. Like, maybe you aren't helping enough people. So I hit another bottom after going through this work again, the first 164 pages, and I ended up in a, I had friends, thankfully, that I never got too far away from the program, and I majority of my circle were alcoholics, and I ended up in a meeting in an evening meeting in December of 2024. And I actually work the book through the set aside prayer, so I say that every morning, every night, and multiple times throughout the day. And there was a newcomer in that meeting who needed friends and wanted to play pickleball. And I said to myself, never will I ever date a newcomer. But then I had the set aside prayer. God help me set aside everything I think I know. So if I've been told not to date newcomers and I'm setting everything aside, why can't I let God show me a different way and have a new experience? Well, a year and a half later, that man lives with me and we are moving to Tennessee. And I'll tell you that if you want to know who you are, you get into a relationship, especially in early sobriety. And even bonus points if it's another alcoholic, right? So he moved in, we started working steps in the same, sponsorship family. And I'll tell you that's when finally, because I saw somebody, going at it like his life depended on it, I was like, well, maybe I shouldn't be this self-righteous hypocrite, and maybe I should start doing the work. And we started getting up and going to a meeting every single day, 6:30 in the morning in person. And it took us months to get there on time. Months of practice, right? Like, this is a program that builds on itself. And, pulling in again, going through the steps again, taking sponsees through the steps, pulling in more of my own disorder, more of my own patterns. The book says that we hold on to the worst items in stock when we're taking six and seven. And what are those worst items in stock? Well, it's my old ideas, emotions, and attitudes. The book talks about that. So if I'm setting aside all of my old ideas, emotions, and attitudes, that means I can't fight. I can't criticize. Because if I'm doing that, it's me continuing to think that I am right and you are wrong. So therefore, I didn't understand. I was also asked to set aside what my conception of God was. Okay, well, I've always had a great relationship with God. In ACA in the Yellow Book, I had to paint a picture of what heaven was supposed to look like. And there's a we were packing, and so I just packed it up, and it has roller coasters and mountains and palm trees and beaches. And I always said that I would die and eat cotton candy and sushi every day and ride roller coasters if I went to heaven. And that's still the childlike belief in me today. And so I didn't really understand what God was. I was brought up in a church in the Midwest, and I believed in a Jesus, or some of you will say a sky daddy. And it wasn't until sobriety that I learned so many different conceptions, yet I was being asked to set aside what that conception of God was again. And so it wasn't until I learned that I had choices, and I have, the book says, an appalling lack of perspective. And without choices and new perspectives, I won't be able to find God. So to this day, I'm seeking God. And for the rest of my life, I will have a design for living that gives me that ability to seek and have that open mind or a new experience. Because otherwise, I'll divorce him before we even get married. I will run our relationship into the ground. I will get fired from every job I'll ever have, and I will break up with more girlfriends than I will have ever contained at one point in my life, because, like the bedevilments say, which was read on page 52, is we have problems with personal relationships. And why is that? Because we are driven by our thoughts and feelings. Our resentments have the power to actually kill, not us, our relationships. Can they murder? Absolutely, they can. That's what's happening, is we believe that we're right. We don't have the perspective, and we continue to fight for what we believe to be true. That is where God cannot work in my life. I am from that lower plane, spiraling, spinning in the severe mental twist that the book talks about. So, thankfully, the bedevilments were read. That's usually where I start. But I started working with a new sponsor that works through the book the same way that I do. And I told her what was going on and some of the challenges and the patterns that I'm still up against. And she said, well, her and her husband both work steps the same way. And she said, have you read page 117? And I'm like, well, I've read all of everything in the first 164. And she's like, why don't you go back and take a peek? So we're going to jump before, and I'm going to read what it says here. And it says, how much better is life on lived on a spiritual plane? I have he cost out to make it very clear, God can solve your problems too. We found, and I'm removing wives and husbands because this applies to all of us, we found that, like everybody else, we were afflicted with pride, self-pity, vanity, and all things which go to make up the self-centered person. We were not above selfishness and dishonesty. We began to apply these spiritual principles. Now we must put these spiritual principles to work in every department of our lives. We find it solves our problems too, ensuing the lack of fear, ensuing lack of fear, worry, hurt feelings is a wonderful thing. So we urge you to try our program. But all problems will not be solved at once. Seed has started to sprout in new soil, but growth has only begun. These workouts, I'm sorry, the faith and sincerity of both of you and your husband will be put to the test. Well, all of your relationships will be put to the test. These workouts should be regarded as part of your education, for thus you will be learning to live. You will make mistakes, but if you are earnest, they will not drag you down. You will capitalize them. A better way of life will emerge when they are overcome. Some of the snags you will encounter are irritation, hurt feelings, and resentments. Why? Because we often only saw that the world and its people were quite wrong. To conclude that others were wrong were as far as most of us ever got. The usual outcome was that people continued to wrong us and we stayed sore and in resentment. But it held the key to the future. The list, we turned back to that list. We were prepared to look at it from an entirely new angle, perspective. We began to see that the world and its people actually really dominated us. Why? Because we believed our thoughts and feelings. And in that state, the wrongdoings of others, fancied or real, had the power to actually kill. How could we escape? We saw that these resentments must be mastered, but how? So I finally did the work. I finally put things on paper. I understood that my resentments were most of the time lies that my head was telling me. I am lying to myself, and that is what keeps me disconnected from all of you, and it keeps me mainly disconnected from God. When I fall off the beam, it is because my selfish mind wants to be right. I am selfish, I'm right. I am self-seeking. You're wrong, and I want you to change so that I can feel better. Be changed, or I want the situation to be different. I am dishonest. I lie, cheat, steal, gossip, and manipulate, often with myself. My people-pleasing is incredibly manipulative because I think that you should not be having the experience you're having. It's making me uncomfortable, so I'm going to be extra nice to you so that you can change. And I'm driven by 100 forms of fear, the evil corroding thread that erodes everything from our lives. My fear makes up stories. When I fall into fear, I will make up stories of things that are not happening around me or people are not actually doing around me. And I make everything filter through my injured mind, and I filter all of those stories, and I rewrite the plays, and I rewrite everything so that I can feel better and I don't have to feel that fear. I don't have to look at myself. But I wake up every single morning with alcoholism. I sabotage myself. My ism can sabotage a relationship, and it can pull down an entire structure, and it can ruin an entire day if I don't get up and go immediately to a meeting, if I don't get up and say the set-aside prayer and open the book and read from the first 164 pages every single day. That is how I treat my alcoholism today. And until I found the work that I do now, I was sick and suffering for many, many, many years inside of the rooms. Why we pray for the still sick and suffering both in and out of these rooms? Because most people don't understand God. Most people don't have the connection with God, and they are still going for that human aid, that pill, that donut in my case, whatever it may be, that social media, that dating app, that validation. There are so many things that can still be using without us even realizing it. And I'll tell you that I can't always find a better way. I still pull in disorder when I fall out of order from the ritual. Someone in my morning meeting always says that you can't spell spiritual without ritual. And the book says we alcoholics are undisciplined. Our lives are unmanageable because we don't have the rituals that we require to treat our alcoholism every single day. And so When those symptoms come up for me today, I have a solution that I never had. And that lies within the first 164 pages of these books. I know that I will never, as long as I am alive, not be sponsoring. I know that I will, as long as I'm alive, not be in this work. I know that I will be taking three people through the book because that's how I get better. There is nothing a book says that keeps us immune from, picking up that drink like work like an with another alcoholic. And for me, it's not picking up that drink today. It's picking up that thought and putting me on that train because I will blow through the station and I will explode the train like a bullet train and I will take everybody out. If anyone here is from South Florida, we have a train called the Bright Line and it hits people like, ooh, every other week and kill somebody. And it's like, I'm the bright line. I am the bright line because I will destroy what's ever in my path when I fall back into my thoughts and feelings that aren't real or true. And my words can be violent and I can rage and I can be angry. And it's scary to know that person still lives inside me. But the only antidote for that to me today is God. And if I don't do the work, I fall right back into self-knowledge. And I can use this work like a weapon, and I can beat my boyfriend over the head with it and think that I know everything. And I can speak to friends like that. I can speak to sponsees like that because I'm told today not to give advice and to ask a lot more questions because the more I think that I know, the more I stay disconnected from God. So my favorite answer today is I don't know. I really don't. And I know that my only goal is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. I seek to understand rather than to be understood. And I will continue to create questions so that I can have a new perspective and have that open mind and new experience because God's plan is so much better than I could have ever imagined. And I think that's all I got, even though I've got 2 minutes left. I can't wait to hear from all of you. Thank you all for having me today and asking me to speak. I can't even remember who it was. I know that there's a Sharon that made a great flyer. So I really appreciate you guys. And this is a huge meeting, everyone from all over the world. And I do hope that I shared something that made an impact to someone. Thank you guys for having me.